Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Be in our midst through the power of the Holy Spirit. Raise our awareness of your presence. And may your love and peace, your grace and mercy permeate this space in which we gather. Speak to our hearts your living word. Holy Spirit, help us to open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to all that you would have for us here at this time. Pour out your blessings, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 11 through 14. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, some of you that know and are beginning to get a sense of some of the rhythms of our family might know that this is a time of year where we venture out to Wilmington, Delaware, to Mandy's sisters, to go to Longwood Gardens, which is a beautiful state-funded garden. Used to be a DuPont estate, and now it's just got just incredible flowers and all that kind of thing. Well, they do this breakfast with Santa that is unlike any breakfast with Santa that I've ever attended. Now, I keep telling the family, you know, we have this here in Ashland at Jake's Steakhouse. Like, you guys could come here, but no, instead, we always make this trek out east, and we go to Longwood Gardens, we get dressed up, and it really does provide us an opportunity to take great pictures with the kids and things like that. And for several years after we came to Ashland, I didn't go with the family. Because I, you know, have responsibilities here on Sunday morning, and it was just too quick of a trip to drive out there 8.5 hours Friday night and turn around and drive back Saturday so I could be here Sunday. Well, then, you know, it's kind of like, well, Mark, our kids are never going to know that they had a father based on these pictures because I'm not in any of them. So their family had mercy on us, and they do a lot of flying for work. They rack up a lot of frequent flyer miles, and they said, look, if you are able to get out here, we will commit to flying you back to Ashland on Saturday night so that you can be there to tend to your responsibilities on Sunday morning. So this weekend was the weekend of breakfast with Santa, and Friday we get everyone in the van, and we head out, and we actually had a great trip across the state, the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Was pretty clear, which is unusual and worthy of praising God for, and there was no turmoil. We had a really good trip out. And then when we got there, mind you, we really don't spend much time watching the news at our house. We have enough to worry about, let alone turning on the news and seeing what's going on in the world for the most part. And so I get out there, and I had no idea that there's a snowstorm on the East Coast that's working its way up the East Coast towards Philadelphia, and that Benji was scheduled to hit Wilmington, Delaware in the Philadelphia airport yesterday, while I was yesterday evening scheduled to be flying back to Ashland so that I could be here this morning. So Friday night, I start to get just a little concerned about what this may due to my travel plans and whether or not I was going to make it back. And I mean, it wasn't, they're calling for 3 to 5 inches of snow, but you know, the reality with those storms is it had come through Atlanta, which affects their airport. It's coming through Charlotte, which is a hub for American Airlines, as is Philadelphia, and that was the airline. So you just never know the domino effect. So throughout the day, I'm just kind of waiting to kind of figure out, do I need to call someone in Ashland and kind of say, hey, look, do you have a sermon that you can pull out and be ready to go tomorrow morning? I'm like, well, I don't want to get anyone worried and anxious and have them thinking about it too early if this amounts to nothing. So making these judgment calls throughout the day. But by and large, things seem to be running smoothly. I checked the news a couple times, and no delays at the Philadelphia airport. Great, we're good to go. I feel confident. So I make no phone calls, leave the house, and get to the airport in plenty of time. Everything's on time, and then we go to board our plane at 6 o'clock. And they come over the intercom. The crew for this plane has not arrived on their incoming flight to the airport. We are not yet able to board the plane. We will let you know when we have more details. That was the end of the announcement. So our boarding time came and went. Our departure time came and went. Every time I see a crew walking down, I'm like, yes, they're here. And then they would like veer off to one of the other gates and get on another plane. And so I'm there and I'm waiting. And while I'm waiting, I'm again wondering, am I going to have to, this is even worse now, it's evening, am I going to have to call someone? Hey, can you bail me out? Call Joanne, can you just sing some Christmas carols? Call Alan, can you play some things and read some, I mean, you know. We'll make it work, right? The departure time comes and goes, and all this time I'm waiting. Now, eventually they did come across, and they say, your crew's coming in from Cincinnati. They're due to arrive at 8:30. My flight was scheduled for 6 o'clock. They're due to arrive at 8:30. At that point in time, we'll get them off their plane, get them on yours, we'll prepare for. So I started to get at least the sense that, okay, they're actually coming. This is going to work out. But all the while, I'm waiting. And while I'm waiting, I'm observing. And at one point, I try to read. I read a chapter of a book. I can't tell you one thing about the chapter I read. I just get distracted in airports, watching people. Well, not only distracted, but like it was crazy making at this particular point in time. Because all these flights are coming in delayed, so people are running everywhere trying to catch their next flight, and by and large, they would get to the gate, they would be exhausted, they're sweating, they're breathing heavily, and then they realize their plane's already gone. Now, within a 10-minute period, I watched this happen. A family of three get to the gate, the door is shut, they tell them they can't get on, but the plane is right there. And, you know, the tunnel that you walk down is still attached to the plane. And so they're yelling, they're screaming. They go over to the window. They're banging on the airport glass, the windows, trying to get the attention of anybody out around the plane. They're jumping up and down. And then finally I hear the father say, "The captain saw us. He gave me a thumbs up." There's not even a gate agent at the gate at this point. Their son, who's probably 10 years old, is running. He's knocking on the door. Like, what if I knock on the door? He's knocking on the door. I mean, and... Well, the captain waited for him. They brought a gate agent back, and the captain said, "We'll get him on." I hear them say to them, "We may have to hold the plane 45 minutes to get your luggage." But the captain was willing to do that for this family so that they could get on that plane. At the same time, one gate over, two guys come sprinting down through the airport, get up to the gate. The plane's sitting right there. They had pulled the tunnel away from the plane. I used a technical term, it's a tunnel. They had pulled it away, but the gate agent's like, "Look, we only hold it for 10 minutes after." This was an international flight. They're looking at the plane, and they're telling them, "We're not letting you on." Irate. Every word in the book, everyone in that terminal hears everyone. I mean, they're going to the different gate agent. I mean, they're just raising as much fuss as they never did get on. So I'm seeing every emotion while I'm waiting. I'm seeing every emotion that you can see, from disappointment to frustration to anger to patience. And look, the period of time I waited was no big deal in the grand scheme of things. But waiting can be hard. And in the process of waiting, we can tend to take on a lot of things and turn to a lot of things that may or may not be good. And I watched how people responded to this waiting, as I myself was challenged on how can I respond in this period of waiting. Finally, I was like, I need to do something productive. So I pulled out my sermon notes. I was like, I'm going to work on my sermon. It'll buy me a little bit of time tomorrow morning. I won't have to get up as early to kind of put the finishing touches. So I'm working on this sermon, and I asked myself this question. When is a time when I have found myself waiting? And I actually had to think about this for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb went on. I'm like, hello, you're in an airport. You've been waiting for your plane for 3 hours now. Like, oh, yeah, that's a good, I got, all right, Jesus, I got my story to open up my sermon. So if that's what this was about, then get the crew here because we can take off now. Thank you. But in the midst of that waiting, not only did I experience a lot of emotions, but like my anxiety was, I texted Mandy at one point. I'm like, this has to be the one place in the world that raises more anxiety in people's lives than any other place. I mean, a lot of people are already anxious about this, the fact that you're getting in this thing and you'll be 35,000 feet above the ground. But just the anxiety of the delays and trying to catch your flights and trying to get home, and I mean, all of that adds up. I heard one couple talking to the other couple, and they were comparing how many hundreds of dollars they had spent on food and booze waiting on their planes that day. Like, that's how they're dealing with this anxiety, right? And we turn to these things. And so it raises this question in my mind, how do we respond when the Lord brings us into a period of waiting? We're in the season of Advent. Advent means waiting. There are seasons in our lives that are seasons of waiting. Now, we find times in our lives, like I did yesterday, where we have these relatively brief periods of waiting. And then we have other seasons in our lives where those days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years of being in this season of waiting. And that's what Paul's talking about in this text. If you go back and look at the first 10 verses leading up to the verse I read, verse 11, you see that Paul's drawing from this example of the Exodus, of the Israelites being led out of Egypt and then going into the wilderness. And this wilderness time for the Israelites was a season of waiting. And then Paul tells us in these verses how they responded. He's like, well, God was not pleased with them, and so some were struck down in the wilderness. And he says in verse 6, this occurred as an example to us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. So Paul's drawing on their experiences and in saying to us, this is a great example for us so that we can respond in a different way. And then he gives us some more examples. Verse 7, do not become idolaters as some of them did. Some of them indulged in sexual immorality and 23,000 of them fell in a single day. Some of them were putting Christ to the test and they were destroyed by the serpents. Some of them were complaining and moaning and crying out to God, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. And Paul gives us these examples of the Israelites while they were in the season of waiting, turning to things other than God, turning to evil, turning to idols. See, The Exodus was a deliverance out of Egypt, but it wasn't yet a full deliverance. They were waiting for the fullness of that deliverance, for the Lord to take them and lead them into the promised land. The season of Advent is a period of waiting where we are waiting for the fullness of our salvation to be revealed in the end when Christ returns in the fullness of the kingdom. And Paul is telling us, admonishing us, in this season, let's learn from Israel. In the midst of these times of waiting in our lives, let us not become idolaters, as some of them did. So what is an idol? We know this by and large. It's a false god or a representation at the very basic sense of it. Idolatry, then, the worship of that false god. But this is what is also true about idolatry. Idolatry can be any obsessive concern that we may have. that that too can become an idol in our lives. And idolatry can become our worshiping of whatever it is that we're turning to, that we are becoming obsessed about. And what Paul seems to be telling us in this passage is that when we are in a season of waiting on the Lord, that was a tripod, everyone's all right. Then when we are in a season of waiting upon the Lord, that the temptations are often greater for us to fall into this idolatry. When we are placing our faith or our trust or our belief in anything or anyone other than the one true God, this is idolatry. When we turn to other people or things to meet our needs instead of turning to Jesus, this is idolatry. Ephesians 5:5 tells us that the immoral, the impure, the greedy person, that is an idolater. Colossians 3:5 refers to sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed and lumps those in together as idolatry. So it's not just, okay, I have this golden calf sitting in my apartment and, you know, sometimes I go and pray to that calf. It's no, there are things in our lives that we turn to in times of need instead of Jesus. And this is idolatry. I think it could be argued that idolatry, in a foundational sense, is the root of much of our sin. We're not just turning to something, we are turning away from someone. We're not just turning to something to meet our needs. By doing that, we are also turning away from Jesus, who desires to meet our needs. And Paul seems to be warning us here that when we find ourselves in these Advent seasons, that the temptation is greater. I'm waiting. Where are you, God? I thought, Lord, you were going to take care of this thing. I've been praying about this for a long time. Where is the answer? Excuse me. I'm losing faith, Lord. I'm losing hope in this season of waiting. I'm finding myself to be discouraged in this season of waiting. And then I think these little thoughts pop into our head. Well, maybe if I did this, I'd feel a little bit better. Maybe if I turn to this, it'll meet this need or what I feel is lacking in my life. You know what? For me, I struggle with a lot in times like that. It's like, maybe if I just go ahead and take control of this situation, then I can make things right. I don't need to wait on the Lord. I'll go ahead and handle it myself. In my life, in the ministry, last night at the airport, I'm like, look, I'll fly this thing. How hard can it be? Get it off the ground, push autopilot, we're good to go. And all of a sudden, we realize that this text isn't just about the Israelites wandering around in the desert, making foolish decisions and turning away from the God that just delivered them from Egypt. But it's about you and it's about me. It's about us. It's about the ways that we wander through our daily lives. Specifically, the ways that we wander through those times when we find ourselves waiting on the Lord. Waiting for the physical, the emotional, the spiritual healing to come. Waiting for the Lord to help deliver us from our struggles. Waiting for the Lord to provide for us in a season of lack. Waiting for that child or that loved one or that friend that we've been praying for so long to get their life on the right track. waiting for the pain to stop, the depression to lift, the fog to clear, waiting for the working out of our salvation so that we begin to see some of the victories of our faithfulness to Jesus. Waiting for life, waiting for death, waiting for someone to notice, waiting for the ministry to flourish, waiting for Jesus in the midst of it all. How do we respond during these times of waiting? I think fortunately Paul gives us some guidelines here. Gives us some helpful tips. If you look at verse 12, the first of those is to maintain, a spirit of humility. Maintain a spirit of humility. Verse 12 says, so if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. Because pride cometh before the fall, right? This was a good one for me. Because in the periods of waiting, a lot of times my answer is, I got this. I'll take care of it. Lord, go worry about someone else with greater needs. I can handle this one. No biggie. Good to go. Pride cometh before the fall. Maintain a spirit of humility so that we realize in the midst of this waiting, we're prone to fall. Because as soon as we think we're not, is when we're most susceptible. As soon as we think we're not, is when we're most susceptible. Number two, rely on the community of faith. Nothing has tested you that is not common to everyone. It says at the beginning of verse 13. Nothing has tested you that is not common to everyone. It's true that not everyone here has walked in your shoes, that not all of our situations have been like your situation. But what I also believe to be true is that all of us have had situations that elicit similar feelings, that we've all had experiences where we have felt the things that you're feeling in the midst of your current struggle or period of waiting. That many of us have been there, and many of you have been there, whatever the there is at that particular moment. And while the situations may not be the same, the emotions often are. There are people in our lives, people in this community of faith, people sitting here around us that can walk in empathy with you in the midst of your waiting. For over 20 years, folks have engaged in the Stephen ministry. That's so much of what that's about. Having someone that can come alongside you and walk in empathy in the midst of your life situation. Dozens of people here have been trained in that model of ministry. And I want you to hear this, no matter what you're going through in this season of waiting, I'm confident there are people here that can come alongside you and feel your feelings. That's what empathy means. When you receive empathy, you feel felt. And while our lives may not be similar in terms of the specific struggles, our emotions often are. And so I can build off my past experiences, for example, and get a sense of what you might be experiencing as I sit and listen and empathize with you. Rely on the community of faith. Because when you're in a season of waiting and you choose isolation, it's not good. It's not healthy. The Lord blesses us with community. Rely on us. Number three, keep our confidence and faith in the Lord. I love this little phrase. that God is faithful. God is faithful. There's no test that comes into our life that God is not faithful in the midst of. And while we may not feel God's presence, we are assured time and time again through Scripture that Jesus is present with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that nothing can separate us from the presence of God. Even in the depths and in the darkness, we remain in the presence of the Lord. And then finally, the end of verse 13, look for the way out. Look for the way out. Nothing has come to you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and God will provide a way out. When we're in this season of waiting, look for the way out. But here's the thing. The way out may not be the way out of that situation. The way out is the way out of turning to idolatry. The way out is the way out of turning away from God into other things to meet our needs in the midst of the waiting. And so it says, so that you may be able to endure it. Well, to endure it means to bear in the midst of the suffering. It means to get through it. So it's not that the thing will be removed, it's that God will provide a way for you to endure it. And based on all of that, Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. Run away from anything that causes you to turn away from Jesus and to someone or something else in your life as you sit in this period of waiting. God will provide us a way to endure, to bear up under the sufferings and testings, under the trials of life, in a way that keeps us from turning to idols, in a way that helps us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and sustainer of our faith. Jesus, in this season of Advent, in this season of waiting, came, will come, and comes to meet us in this place. So I'm going to ask Alan to come forward, and I'm simply going to ask the Lord to lead us in a time of prayer and reflection. And I'm going to guide that for you for just a few minutes. And I'm just going to invite you to allow yourself to spend some quiet moments with the Lord. So let's enter into this time of prayer. Holy Spirit, come in a way that we experience your presence. We ask that it is you that guides this time. Raise our awareness of your presence. I want you to spend just a couple moments reflecting on this question. Where in my life am I in a period of waiting? I want to ask you to then take this next step and ask Jesus to help you with this, but are there any ways that I am turning to idols instead of turning to Jesus in this period of waiting? And ask the Lord to reveal those to your heart. I just invite you to take a few moments to just pray in your heart as I pray and we bring this before the Lord. Jesus, I recognize that I am turning to other people, to other things, to other behaviors that are not within your will for my life. I confess this to you, Jesus. and I seek your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. I repent from this idolatry. I turn away from it. And I turn to you, Jesus. I realign myself to your will for my life. I ask through the power of the Holy Spirit that you help me to keep my eyes fixed on you, Jesus, in the midst of this waiting. Help me to experience your loving presence. Holy Spirit, strengthen us with your spirit of patience and perseverance. Be present to us in the waiting. Be present to us in this Advent season. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.